All right, grab your Bibles. We'll head to Joshua. You can stay seated for just a moment. I'll have you stand here in just a moment. Joshua, we're going to read a familiar passage, but we're going to read some verses leading up to it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for putting up with me. I stepped to the restroom before I came up here. I have no idea who walked in behind me. I have no idea who said this. They said, "Are you ready to preach again?" And I laughed and I said, "Y'all want to hear me for the third time?" And this was the exact words. "I've got to listen to you tomorrow too." I said, "Well, you aren't even halfway done then. You're in trouble." And so I'm glad I made an impact on that young man's life. And we'll try to continue that tomorrow. But thanks for being here. Brother Mason, thanks for doing this. Brother Merrick, church, thanks for the food. Food was great. That was really good. Really enjoyed that. They sent me home with some barbecue last night, and that was awesome. I ate that last night when I got back to the room and just really enjoyed it. And so I appreciate all the ladies and fellows, everybody serving, all that you've done. Thank you for doing that for us and letting us be a part of this. Young people, we're going to close here with one more sermon. I do want to just encourage you. If God can use me, He can use you. And that's true. I come from very humble beginnings. My parents, mom and dad lived on the farm when dad was helping a church planter. The church planter left. We had multiple pastors in to preach and to look for a pastor. Whenever there was no one to preach, dad would preach. And one day dad come in the house and pulled mom off to the side, and he had been in the woods for a while with the Lord, the Bible, and came in and told us kids that felt like the Lord wanted him to take the church. He took the church and pastored it for 24 years. And so our background is from humble beginnings, just wanting to do something for the Lord, just wanting to serve the Lord. And I just about preached a little bit along the line with some of what Julie was going to say to the ladies, and I don't know how much of it she covered, but that our purpose, everybody's purpose in this room, is the exact same. It's to honor and glorify God. One of the things that's frustrating when you see people in ministry, when they feel like they're out of whatever the called area is. I'm the pastor. I won't pastor the rest of my life, maybe. I hope to pastor as long as I possibly can, but there'll come a time when that'll end. And do you know what? My purpose stays the same. That the day I step out from the pulpit from the last time, my purpose for tomorrow is going to be the exact same as it was the years that I pastored, was still to glorify God. Do you know your purpose? Whether you're ever a pastor or a pastor's wife or a missionary's wife, your purpose is exactly the same, to glorify God. And I hope that's your heart's desire. My life verse: whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I hope that's your desire. Man, we need you guys in our churches. We need you in our churches. I was telling some of the men, I went down the road to a church about a mile from us. They invited me on a Sunday night. We have a Sunday morning and a Sunday afternoon service at our church. And so Sunday nights I'm free, so they invited me to come preach. I went down there, brought some of our institute guys with us, took a band, probably 15, 18 guys all showed up. And the pastor was in his late 60s, and he was the youngest guy in the church. And I thought, man alive, how fortunate I am to serve with young people and youth. And sometimes y'all are a pain. Sometimes you're a problem every now and then. But man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Wow, you didn't have to make eye contact. I mean, really, it was a general statement, but whatever. But really, appreciate y'all's desire to serve the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about, as we close, you should be serving God right now. You should be serving God right now. And I'll challenge you a little bit farther. If you're not careful and you don't start serving God right now, you won't. You won't. And that's the danger. You can say, well, I'm waiting if God never calls me, or God never... Listen, this church, your church, my church, we do not need any more professional pew sitters. Okay? I've got a very active church. I freaked our church out on a Wednesday night about 2-3 weeks ago. We do our buses on Wednesday night. We run our bus routes on Wednesday. And we run 5 routes, bring kids in on Wednesday night. We do a big teen thing on Wednesday nights. And so the junior church will have, maybe 100, 120 in there. And then the teen ministry will have probably about 40, 45 teenagers upstairs in their class. And I told our church there's about 35 people left in the auditorium, 30, 35 people left. And I said, my desire, it would be great. I'm hoping one day that everybody here gets so involved in the ministry that we're serving the Lord on Wednesday night, we don't have to have a service in here. Some of them looked at me like you're looking at me. Like, wait a minute, we come just to sit here and to hear a message. But that's not God's plan for any of us. Do something for the Lord. By the way, nobody in our churches has more energy, has more time, and has more expendable income than singles. Oh, Brother Glenn, I got people in our church that make a whole lot more money than me. Yep. And we're married. Yep. There's a bag I carried in. I told some of the men at the door, I said, I used to be man enough to tell my wife I wasn't carrying her bag around. But the bag I carried in has all her makeup in it. And since I have to replace it, I carried it in, put it in the cool. I'm like, I don't care what y'all think. I have to buy all this if it all melts. And so, some people it takes work to look like they look. Some of us just get up and this is the way we look. And it's natural. It's natural beauty. Yeah, how many of you saw the picture that Brother Mason put online? Okay, that was like 2 months ago of me. I aged quickly, but no, we were laughing about that. But serve God now while you have energy. Man, I use that energy. I had one of our young ladies come back from her trip to Guyana. I let her give a testimony in the middle of her test. She's 21, and she's like, yeah, it was a long, long few days, and we were so looking forward to a Starbucks, and we thought we'd get a pick-me-up, and we needed an energy shot. And I'm like, you're 21. Wait till you're 52. Coffee doesn't work. Nothing works. But thank you for being here. All right, let's stand. Let's read some scripture here. Let's go ahead and take a minute and read this. Now, we're going to go to Joshua 24, and we're going to hit where we end up. It's going to be choose you this day. Got it? But go back, and let's read for a minute. And I want you to think as we read the first part of chapter 24, why would it even be a choice? When you start in verse 1 to get to verse 15, and you read everything that God has done, why would it even be a choice? Okay, so let's read this together. Chapter 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of the Israel to Shechem and called the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even to Aaron, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. When they came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen of the Red unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwell in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you unto the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess the land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and I sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, and cursed you, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, came into Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you that drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, cities which ye built not, ye dwell in them, of vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now, therefore, because of all this, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, bless this last session. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for the great spirit. And Lord, just a joy to be here with them. I love gathering around your word with people that we can study together, preach, and they want to hear truth. And Lord, again, I said it often this last day or two, but what a great group here. What a potential for you is in this room. I pray that you would help them to see that and just to choose right. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. This passage, of course, we're not talking about salvation and we're not going to preach a salvation message, but I think it's an application just to be simply to say this, that some point or points in your life, you have to make a choice about salvation. You have resisted and rejected and ridiculed it, or you have repented and received the gift that God wants to give you of his son, the salvation that he has provided for you. This passage we know in this is written to the nation of Israel as they're about to split up now and to take possession of each tribe's inheritance. They have been together. They have been under the leadership of most of these, obviously, except for Caleb, and have been under Joshua, Moses and Joshua, as they've gone through the wilderness and then into the promised land. And they've had great leadership over them. They have had great men of God that would lead them in a direction and had helped them. And as far as a spiritual time, just to be honest with you, gave them little choice of what they could do spiritually. I mean, as long as Moses was in charge, you were following God. As long as Joshua was in charge, you were following God. But now comes a moment when they're going to split up. Now comes a moment when the group is dividing, and you're going to go and the groups are going to take their own possessions of this promised land. Tribes are going to spread out. Families are going to spread out. And Joshua gets them together for one last time. And the point is verses 15 and 16. We know that is the point. But he took the time to review with them everything that God had done. I want to say, Joshua says, I want to say to you, I want to put something out here that's on my heart. I want to stress this to you, but I want to remind you of everything that God has done. I want you to realize you have to make a choice today. You have to make a decision, but I want to review everything that God has done, because at the end of the review, it really shouldn't be much of a choice. When they heard all and they started remembering all that God had done for them and everything that he had done, just take this passage, and if you were to go home this afternoon and just highlight, I did, I delivered, I gave, I brought, all talking about God. I did all this for you. I did all of this for you. And then you see all the things that God had done, how he had brought them as a nation to this place. It should have been a simple choice. It really wasn't much of a choice to make. And yet, Joshua knew everybody still had to make a choice. When I read this and he talks about, hey, you're going to have cities you didn't build, and you're going to have vineyards and you didn't plant, and wells you're going to drink out of that you did not dig. And I think about an application to that of where you guys are in your life, and you've had pastors and maybe even godly parents, and maybe some of you didn't have the parents, but you have a church and they have helped you go in a certain direction, and they have helped you serve God, and they have moved you in a certain way, and they picked where you would go to camp, and they picked what the speakers would come to the church and preach, and they decided how to help you in Sunday school class. And yet now you're at a stage in your life when you're about to kind of go out maybe a little bit more on your own, and you've got some choices to make. And you have to decide how you're going to choose, what you're going to choose. He says, first of all, in verse 15, choose. You have a choice. Now, several times in Scripture, he reminds us to pick a side. Elijah's at Mount Carmel, and he says in 1 Kings chapter 18, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Pick a side. Some of you are trying to do the best job you can of balancing spiritual and worldliness. Pick a side. Pick a side. If you want to be, this sounds really bad. This is why I don't get invited back. If you want to be worldly, go be worldly. That's really what he says in these passages. Look, hey, we're all Mount Carmel. If God's God, follow him. If Baal is, follow him. But you pick some way today. You pick a side today. There's going to be a point. Hey, Baal's over here. They're doing their thing. In just a minute, God's going to let me do my part. And you're going to have to choose one or the other. This is decision day. This is a moment of you having to do a choice, a decision. Which one are you going to follow? Rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. He says, the Lord, it wasn't work salvation in this passage. The Lord just knew what it was that was keeping him from getting saved and following Christ. He said, go, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Choose. Pick. What do you want? Jesus to his disciples in John 6, will you also go away? He says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says to the people that you have a choice to obey me or not. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm giving you a choice, life or death. Pick one. Ruth just stays with Naomi in Ruth chapter 1. And the Bible says that Ruth clave unto her. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people. And thy God, my God. Pick a side. The church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert hot or cold. Cole, do you ever read stuff and really understand? I think we've convinced ourselves, Brother Mason, God would rather us be lukewarm than cold. God says, I'd rather you get hot or just get cold. God doesn't like lukewarm Christians. God doesn't like it when you're halfway and you want to try to do Sunday thing and then you want to do the worldly thing. He says, pick a side. You got to choose. You choose. Then he says something else here in verse 15. He says, choose you. It's a personal choice. It's a private choice. Jesus told Zacchaeus, you come down. Jesus tells Simon and Andrew, come follow me. Come after me. I'm calling you. It's your choice. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer comes in and says, what must I do to be saved? It's a personal choice. You need to choose. It's your choice. Up till now, listen, please. I say young people all the time, and I apologize if that offends any of you, but I'm old and y'all are young, so that's why I say it. But I understand that you're not teenagers. I understand. But maybe you're still at home. Maybe you're still at home. And maybe your parents still have great influence, and that'd be great. And maybe your pastor still has great influence, and that'd be great. And up until now, you were made to do what your parents told you to do, and you find that church has almost forced you to be a certain way or to live a certain way, and what you saw that God is now making you to do. But I'm telling you, there's a moment that you're going to come like these people that Joshua is about to split up, and now Joshua's not going to be there every day to pick. Joshua's not going to decide what they do tomorrow. We're splitting up. You're headed out. You're going to make your own choices. You're going to do your own thing. And boy, Joshua says, one of my concerns is that when you leave, you need to make a choice. You need to make this a personal thing. Choose you when? When? Now. Choose now. Listen, by the way, not choosing to follow God today is a choice. If you say, well, I'm going to put it off, I'm not choosing it, I'm not making a choice. No, that's a choice. You've made a choice. Today, pick a side. And then he says this, I'm almost done. Can y'all believe it? Some of you are already asleep. You didn't laugh. Choose you this day what? Whom you will serve. I'll end with this thought. You will serve someone. Nobody goes through life serving no one. Everybody serves someone. You may serve the master of money. You may serve the master of money. You know, people get so enamored with money. Money's just a tool. I tell people all the time, money's just a tool to do what God's told us to do. He provides us an ability to work or to make some money to do what? So that we can take care of our family and we can take care of my wife. I can take care of my children. I can take care of my home. It's my responsibility. By the way, fellas, it's your responsibility. Can I go with the guys for a minute? Y'all can ignore this. Ladies, go to sleep. Play videos on your phone. I don't care what you do for a minute. Listen, boys, men, young men. You're responsible to lead in your home. You have to choose, and you should choose now, before you ever get married, what direction you're going to take your home. Choose you. I stand before the Lord accountable for the direction of my home. My wife, now, I don't want to say this too loud because the ladies will take advantage of it, but she gets a pass. God holds me accountable. You're going to have to make a choice. Money's a tool to take care of your family. Money's a tool to give the work of the Lord. Money's a tool to put you in a local church, to get in and be a part of that. Don't you dare be a mooch. This is the last session. I can say whatever I want. I don't care if you come back or not. Man, I tell our church people one Sunday, I was preaching on this. I said, man, if you attend Victory Baptist Church, you're a part of this church, and you don't tithe, you're a mooch. That's right. By the way, you young people all are tithe. You ought to give. You ought to be missions givers. You ought to be investing in the eternal rewards. Don't you ever get enamored just with money. Money, hey, okay. Let's clear something up that some people say that isn't true. Money isn't helpful anything. That's garbage. Money's very helpful. Try living without it. It's better to have money than to not have money, right? We in agreement with that? But we can't live for money. You live for money, then you are miserable. Okay? God gives you a good job. I'm meeting with a young man. When I get back, he called me on this trip. He said, Pastor, he said, God's really been blessing. Single guy in our church. He said, God's really been blessing me. He said, you won't believe this, but he said, I'm getting a $4 an hour raise next week. I said, I want an application. That's what I want. Where are you going getting $4 an hour raise? He said, I'm getting one next week. And he said, you know what I've realized? He said, over your preaching the last few weeks, I've realized I don't manage my money very well. But God's been blessing me, and I want to do it right. And so we just did the same thing on the truck. I was talking to him a little bit on the phone, and I said to him last night, I just said, look, I said, hey, thank the Lord that he's given you a raise. I'm grateful for that. Now manage it the way God wants you to manage it. Do something with what he's trusted you with. And watch what God does. Don't live for money. Choose. But you're going to serve somebody, and some people are serving money. I was in a really good church. Really good church. Really good people. And this guy's a really good guy. And God's really blessed them. And the church needed something around there that this guy could have easily done and helped with. Not. I want to be careful here. But he could have just stepped right up and done it. And he has gotten to the place until I hit a certain number, I can't. So now he's serving money. Follow me? I don't know what your retirement plan is. I have one. I try to save so that nobody has to take care of my wife. If something were to happen to me, I want to be able to provide and try to do that. I do that through life insurance. I do that through a little bit of savings. I'm trying to be wise, and we try to do that. But boy, listen, the amount of money that they're telling me now I have to have saved up to retire comfortably, it ain't even going to be right by the time I can retire. You can't live for money. Don't live for money. You'll serve somebody. And people have gotten sucked into that. Young people have gotten sucked into that. Your career. I hear people say, well, Brother Glenn, I had to quit church. I had to take this job. I had to take this position. I couldn't go to church on Sundays for a while because the only way to advance is this. Can I give you a quick testimony? I told the men about a man that got saved Sunday at our church. This gentleman had been coming as a visitor from a co-worker of one of our men in our church. And this man that got saved Sunday is the, I don't know if he's the HR guy, but he's part of the scheduling of people's schedules. And so he said something to Mike one day. He said, Mike, he said, we're changing shifts. We're going to 12-hour shifts. And I'll work, you know, Sundays we'll make sure you're off, but Wednesdays you're going to have to work. And he said, I don't want to do that. And the guy said, well, it's only an hour. You know, it's right up against church time, and I know that. But he says, well, make it work. So Mike calls me, and we're talking about it. We're praying about it. How do we deal with this? How do we handle this? And what do we do next? And what's the next step? And he said, Pastor, he said, I don't want to send my family. I don't want to send my wife to church. I want to take her to church. So we prayed for about a week, and I called him back up. I said, hey, Mike, let me ask you something. You're certified on this machine, and only two or three other people are, right? Yeah. I said, go to the person that's running it right after your shift. See if they'll come in an hour early for you and you stay an hour later for them. He said, I don't think they'll go for it. I said, well, I ask. Let's see if God will do this for you. So he went and asked. This guy that got saved Sunday was the guy doing the scheduling. He walked in and he said to the guy's name, he said, I want to know if I can do that. The guy said, oh, you know what? If you find somebody that can do it, I'll approve it. So he went and found a lady that would rent, certify the machine, agreed to do that. And for the next 2 years, he was at church every Wednesday night. You know what this man that got saved Sunday saw? Somebody that was living, had made a choice to live different than the world around him, and he's come to church multiple times, hadn't gotten saved. I preached Sunday. I told the men, I preached a message on Father's Day, had little salvation in it, and that guy walks the aisle and gets saved, reminds us it's not us, it's all him. And that credit is not to this pastor. That credit is really, in large part, not to Victory Baptist Church. That's one person, one man in our church said, I'm going to change and I'm going to live a certain way. I'm going to make a choice and it may cost me. And he had already told me, he said, Pastor, I'm looking for other jobs. And it's a good job. He said, I'm looking for other jobs because I don't think that's what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord's blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And he's had more, listen to me, he's had more visitors than anybody else in our church. Because he said, I'm going to choose something and I'm going to live it. I'm going to live it. You might choose materialism. You might choose pleasure. You might try success or popularity. Or sports. What a disappointment that would be. But when you review everything that God has done for you, isn't it crazy not to pick God's side? When you just take a personal inventory for just a minute in your mind of all that God's done for you to get you to this place today, why would you not choose God's side? Let me end with just a few examples of young singles in our church. You say, Preacher, do you pressure people? Look, I motivate. I try to motivate people to use their life for the Lord. And we have a bunch of singles in our church, and I try to get them involved in the ministries of the church. And I want them involved in the ministries of the church. Like I say, on Wednesday night, many, many of our singles are helping on bus routes, are helping in junior church, are a part of that. We just had a group of ladies come back from Guyana. We had a ladies' conference we did for a church down there, and four of our single ladies went down with them and were great servants and served meals and just helped at the conference. And all of them came back with a great love for the Lord and a little bit more of how good God's given them a life in America compared to down there. We have two nursing home ministries, both run by single men that are there faithful every week, that multiple singles in our church that play instruments go to those things on Sunday, one Sunday evening, and one is Sunday afternoon. Actually, the only time they could get in was between our morning and afternoon service. So the group that goes to that nursing home leaves church as soon as it's over, does the nursing home service, comes back, doesn't get to eat, no lunch, I don't pressure them. I don't question. They just do it every time. I challenge you to serve the Lord. Choose. I challenge you to go to your pastors when you get home and say, what can I do? How can I be involved? What can I take on? What can I serve? How can I serve the Lord? How can I make a difference? Don't wait. Well, one day when I'm married, or one day when I feel more qualified, or one day, just serve God now. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I had somebody come to me after I preached out of this passage several years ago and ask me when that happened for me. Pastor, when did that happen for you? How did you just get settled that this is the life you were wanting to live and this is the decision you had made? And I told him, I said, you know, I can't really take you to a specific time. I just remember early on, and I'll have to say probably, just to be honest, for me, I was always actively serving. I was glad to be a part of ministry. I wanted to do that. But at some point, probably after I was already married and into the ministry, it just became really, really clear to me. The Lord just seemed to kind of convince me that God is God. And he's right, and he's always right. Y'all believe that? So if he's God and he's always right, I should just do it his way. I don't know if it was kind of in a moment like this, but something got settled in my spirit. Something got settled in my heart that I just made a choice to say today, from now on, there's no debate, there's no question. If God's Word tells me, if God's Word shows me, if the Holy Spirit leads me to the truth of the Word of God, I'm just going to accept that. Even if I don't like it, even if I don't personally think that way, and I settled on this, if God and I disagree, I'm wrong. Y'all agree with that? You know what most young people spend their miserable time of their life doing? Trying to convince themselves that God's okay with something God's not okay with. Just accept that what God says is right, it's right. You have a choice. You have to pick a side. I drove by the church one day. It was on, I believe, a Friday. I saw several cars there, and we didn't have anything planned, and so I pulled in and slipped in the back. And in the auditorium, I slipped in the back. I could hear people praying, it sounded like, in the auditorium. And I slipped in, and I saw several of our young men gathered together at the altar on a Friday night praying. Watch now. We didn't schedule it. We didn't plan it. Wasn't a church function. So I didn't ask them. I asked one of the guys that was around the church, knew all those guys real well. And I just said, hey, I noticed the boys were here on Friday. And they said, yeah. I said, a couple of them just got together and said they felt like that for this revival we were getting ready to have, that they thought we should get together and pray more. And so they just got together on their own on a Friday night. And then it went for the next Friday night. And then the next Friday night. I never went. I never went. That was something special. They didn't need pastor to do it. They just got together and said, let's do this. And they began to pray. And now, every now and then I'll drive by and there'll be four or five cars. And I'll go in and I'll find out nobody's there. And I'll say, where's everybody at? Well, they just decided they would get together and go out and knock doors tonight. without any prompting of the church or the pastor or staff. We have a young couple that's in our church today because a group of our young men decided to take a table and give free Bibles away at our college campus that's in about a town about 15 minutes from us. And now it has developed into once a month they take a day and they'll set a table up with a banner for free Bibles and they'll talk to people on college campus about it. And I have a young couple that's in our church that had gotten saved just before they moved down to go to school there, and they're needing growing, and they come and talk to those guys, and they're in our church, not because pastor organized anything, but some singles chose a side. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's not your pastor's job. It's not the staff of the church's job to do every bit of ministry. You should choose. Just pick a side. Pastor, I want to be used. Don't you want to be used by God? I want to be used by God. Somebody said, Brother Glenn, there's too much burnout in church. I'm not worried about burning out. I hope I rust out. I hope the Lord lets me stay here until he uses every bit of what he wants of me up. And then I get to go to heaven. But you got to make a choice. I can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Your pastor can't make it for you. You have to choose. And what a difference it would make in your church. Look at this group of young men right here. Y'all in the same church, right? Oh, what a difference if this group of young men got together and said, we're choosing to do something for God. And we'll do it whether anybody else ever does it. We're going to serve God. We're going to give our lives to the Lord. We're going to keep ourselves pure. We're going to stay away from pornography. We're going to stay out of the wrong music. We're going to stay away from the wrong TV. And we're just going to give out or sell out to God. And you watch what God will do with you. Fellas, it's not all on Pastor Merrick. It's not all on Brother Mason. You're a part of the church, this body, this group. Are you involved? Serving? Choose a side. Choose a side. Do me a favor, would you? When I come visit your church in 20 years, be serving God. Be serving God. There ain't enough money that can fill a hole when you leave God out of it. It's not a career that's good enough to chase over church and over the Lord and over doing right. It's just not. You want peace? You want to live the end of your life without vexation? I've been at the deathbed of many, many people. Never, never has anyone said, I wish I made more money. Never. And they said, I wish I'd have got the promotion. Wish I'd have worked a little more. Talked to a lot of them that said, I wish I'd have done more for the Lord. Wish I'd have given more to the Lord. Wish I'd have served Him better. Wish I'd have been faithful, more faithful. Wish I'd have been a better Christian. That's what we talk about. That's what we talk about. Choose a side. Now, review everything that God's done for you. Really, there's no choice. There's really no choice. What's the world got to offer that's better than what God's going to give you? There's nothing. Nothing the world can offer you is better than what God can give you. Just choose Him. Father, thank you for today. I'm grateful for these young people. And oh, Lord, I know that it's a battle. Satan's real. Our flesh is real. He's going to do everything he can. Some, he'll do everything he can to pull away. He knows their weakness. Maybe it is money. Maybe it is career. Maybe it is materialism. And he'll go after them. But I would say, Lord, for the vast majority of these young people that are here, that are faithful to this conference, it's going to be just being stagnant and apathetic and just existing in church and being a pew sitter. Father, I pray that you would help them to choose to serve you. Young people, would you stand? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Pianist, just play softly. I'm going to give you a moment, altar. I don't beg or plead, but I wonder if you would be willing just to come down and say, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make a choice today.